This pre-bid meeting is for call A02, which is a wrong way and do not enter sign installation on I-29 in our northwest district, and also call B01 for I-70 in the central district and northeast district. One thing I wanted to note is that the JSPs posted with the pre-bid notice are slightly different than the ones that got posted in the plans room. And the JSPs that are with the pre-bid notice are the most recent JSPs. So there's only a couple slight variances. One of them has to do with the contract time, and the other difference has to do where we, in the scope of work JSP, where we indicated what routes are included in the initial quantities and then which routes are part of the variable scope. So we will get that updated with any other changes that might come out of this meeting as we get them fixed. And that'll come out as an addendum. But we'll talk a little bit more about that as the meeting goes on. The main thing, like I said, that we're wanting to talk about is the contracting method, fixed price, variable scope, what that means and how that's different than what we would traditionally do. We'll also go over the specs that's in the jobs because they're slightly different. One other thing that we've done with this job is try to streamline our plans. So as you've seen, if you've looked at the plans, there's very few sheets and with the project. And then also we'll have a chance to answer questions at the end. One thing I kind of wanted to start with was just kind of the background of how these jobs came about that I think will kind of help understand what we're trying to accomplish. Essentially, we got federal safety funds to install these signs. This is a kind of a pot of money that we have. For instance, on the central district job, we got $424,000. So our thought process is, how do we spend all that money in the pot, but not exceed that pot of money? So essentially, kind of the very basic concept is we'd like to have a contractor go out there, start putting up signs, and when we run out of money, stop. So that's kind of the basic concept that we had. And kind of the next part of that was how to accomplish it and how to put that in a contract. So we kind of put some information together of how we thought we could do it, working with our federal highway partners. They kind of directed us towards Michigan, which does very similar type contracting. So through that process, we've developed this, what we're calling fixed price variable scope contracting. And basically, fixed price variable scope contracting is just a method that allows us to vary the amount of work to be completed to match the project budget. On a normal traditional bid project that we do, you know, we advertise the project with a set amount of quantities, the contractor bids the job, and then that bid amount essentially becomes our construction budget. So the difference with this is we're putting out the set quantities and letting you know what our budget is for the project. Once the project's awarded, we will adjust the quantities in the contract to match the budget. So that's kind of the difference between our traditional bidding and the fixed price variable scope. On the next slide, essentially, this is kind of just the steps that we would go through. I mean, kind of like I said, we've got our set quantities in the bid proposal. As a contractor, you would just bid those pay items. We would take the lowest bid, and that would be the award of the contract. And then once it's awarded and the contract's executed, once we're out in the field, then we would manage the contract by adjusting the contract quantities through our normal change order process to use the existing budget, and we would not exceed that budget. So that's, like I said, the very basic concept of how this process would work. So I don't know. So within the project specifications for the fixed price variable scope, in JSPB and both the projects, one thing we did change, and this is the difference that I noted between the two sets that are out there, is that we will not be granting an extension of time due to an increase in quantities. So for instance, on the Central District job where the budget's $424,000, if we would get a bid of $380,000, and then once it's executed, we increase the quantities to be completed on the job to get it up to the $424,000, we would not give an extension of time on the contract. And that's, a lot of that's because we felt like we're given a large window to complete all the work, and we'd like to have it all completed this year. So, you know, that's something you'll definitely want to make sure that you're aware of. And then JSP C and D for the Central District and Northeast job is kind of gives us a scope of work. And basically within that scope of work, we indicate the routes that have quantities included in the job, but we also include on the I-70 job the additional routes that we could add if there's budget remaining. So the first priority would be to complete I-70, and then if there's budget remaining, the additional work that would be added would be Highway 63 in the Central District and Highway 61 in the Northeast District. So,
one thing really quickly, can I just, on the telephone end, if we could get folks to mute their phones, we are picking up a little bit of background conversation or noise. And if we could get you to do that, I think it will clean up the audio recording for any future listeners. So I appreciate your assistance with that.
So one difference I wanted to note on the I-29 job, we only have one route listed, I-29. So on that route, if the bids come in under budget, you know, we do not have another route that we've been cleared environmentally and had it in the program to be able to add. So on that one, we may not expend all the budget if the bids happen to come in under the budget amount. So, but on both of the jobs, if the bids do come in above the budget amount that's in the JSPs, then once it's in the field, we would change order quantities out of the job so that we do not exceed the budget. And also within that, those location routes that are mentioned, we do give it kind of directionally. So for like I-70, we want the contractor to start east and go west. So if we run out of budget before we get all of I-70 done, the eastern part of the job where we have higher traffic volumes would get done first. So, you know, you will want to keep that in mind as well. So, like I said, the JSP does include the budget. So you guys should be able to kind of get an idea as you're preparing your bids of how much work, what locations that you will be able to get completed. And we do add in there that the contractor is responsible for not exceeding the budget. Kind of like I mentioned before, you know, another thing that we're kind of piloting with this project is streamlining our plans and also minimizing the amount of resources that we have to put on a job. So that's essentially, we want the contractor to have a little more responsibility on these projects than they would maybe on other projects. So as you're progressing your work, like I said, you'll need to watch the budget and not begin any work that would not be covered by the budget. I thought I'd kind of stop there at that point and just see if there's any questions that anybody wants asked specifically about how the fixed price variable scope contracting works. Check the chat box.
Okay.
All right. I guess hearing none, we'll kind of move on. Kind of want to talk about the signing special provisions. Like I said, essentially we were trying to look for ways to kind of streamline this project, you know, for our construction resources and our design resources. One of the things that you've probably noticed about the job is we're paying for things a little differently than we have in the past. So the removal of signs we're going to pay for by each. And of course, we don't want you to remove the existing signs, you know, until the new signs have been installed. For the sign assemblies and installation, we're going to pay for these by each sign completely installed. So that would include the footings, the anchors, the post, the sign, and any backing bars that would be required. And like I said, anything that would be necessary to get it completely installed.
Can you go over the actual sign requirements that it's a concrete footing?
Yeah. So we are requiring the concrete footing, like I said, with the anchor sleeve in the concrete and the PSST post on those. And like I said, that would all be paid for as each sign completely installed. And another requirement that we're including would be the contractor is going to be responsible for staking the locations of the signs based on the typical layout that we provided. You would give us the opportunity to review those stake locations to give you approval for that. Like I said, hopefully this kind of occurred during the time frame that you're waiting on your dig right request. So that is kind of different than what we would traditionally do. And then another requirement that we have for this project is we're requiring the contractor to pour the footings on the same day the hole is excavated. And that's basically to keep from any dirt getting in the hole that would compromise the amount of concrete that's going into the hole. So, and then temporary traffic control. Again, we're kind of doing that a little bit differently as well. We're kind of paying by the ramp. We are requiring the contractor to stake the locations of the signs, so for the traffic control. So you want to stake those at the same time that you're staking the sign locations, so we can review that as well. And kind of what I was getting at a little bit before was the traffic control will be paid for each ramp, regardless of the number of times used. So we have a setup for partial ramp closure, which would be paid for on each ramp that has sign installation. Shoulder work ahead, which the intent of that is for the crossroad. So if you have a sign removal on the crossroad that is at the edge of travel or at the shoulder. I think there's a distance within that plan. Then we would use that shoulder work ahead set up on that crossroad. And then the TMA is being required for both the ramp closure and the shoulder work ahead. Like I said, those would be paid once for each ramp, regardless of the number of times that it's used. And then on mobilization, there's for these projects, there will be no direct pay on those. And then the bonds, similar to what we do for the JOC contracts, the bonds required will be based on the budget. So, and that's explained kind of more in that JSB. In the contractor quality control JSP, we are going to ask the contractor to submit a weekly report, kind of stating your progress of the sign installation. And then also, we're going to request the contractor submit photos of the completed sign and the work area. And that would be how we would be paying for the job. So as you submit photos of the completed signs, then that would give our inspector kind of the go-ahead to include that on the pay estimate. So that is kind of the JSP differences from our typical projects that we would submit out for bid. And with that, I'll open it up for questions. And you can submit those questions either with the chat or with the audio. You know, one thing I thought I'd kind of let you know about is this fixed price variable scope. Kind of like I said, it's a pilot project. It's an experimental project with Federal Highway to do this type of bidding in Missouri. We are looking at another job in the May letting that will also have this fixed price variable scope contracting method. If we get approved through Federal Highway, we're working on that right now. We expect that it'll go through. The plans are set up a little bit different, but as you guys are bidding these jobs, and if you're the successful bidder and you're constructing the job, we would definitely like your feedback on what you think about this type of contracting method. It's something that we feel like will be a good tool for us at MoDOT to use in the future on this type of job and other jobs. So
if there are any questions, feel free to go ahead and chime in right now. Alternatively, if after you get off the phone here or off the webinar here and you think of something, please feel free to submit it through that SurveyMonkey survey. So we'll give you some aggressive typing. We'll give you a moment here just to make sure that nobody has any questions. Hearing none, again, if you would provide the sign-in through the SurveyMonkey. If you have any questions, take an opportunity to submit those questions in that survey itself. And then Troy's contact information is also provided as part of the original meeting invite and notification. So if you think of something, that would be an additional opportunity to reach out to Troy. We would anticipate an addendum relatively quickly because we know of the JSB. So if there's something substantive about your concerns about the project, I really encourage you to get them in soon so that we can consider those as part of the addendum that we know we're going to publish to correct the JSBs to the most current version. Having said a lot there, are there any questions now?
Is the project in May, is that also a signing project or is it a different scope?
It's also signing. It'd be Chevron's also. So it'll be Chevron's wrong way and do not enter signs. And it's in the Southwest District.
I see. Is there any timetable on trying to push this type of contracting into other realms as far as asphalt or concrete work?
We don't have really a timetable. I mean, there might be some jobs this fall come out that would be possibly in the asphalt or other areas.
I will say, I think that these projects are going to serve as a pilot, if you will, of the process. And we're going to take the feedback that's provided from industry along with the results of these contracts, both the bidding results and the performance results, into mind as we look at other opportunities that might benefit from this approach. So, all right, any other questions? We don't want to waste your time, and we want to make sure that we give you a chance to chime in if you have anything that you'd like to add. Well, thank you all very much for participating, and your patience with some of the delays that we had through this process. We'll look to make this process a little better, and we probably will utilize the virtual concept of these meetings in the future. So I personally would like any feedback that you might have on that as well. So thank you all very much. You have a good day.